This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast for this Monday, February 26th. Of 2007. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me, as always, is John. Welcome to the show, Correct Technical Staff.
Thank you.
On the show today, we are super excited to have a very special guest to give us the preview of the Cardinals season going into 2007. The lady with the most from Belly Itcher. We've got Belly Scratcher. Welcome to the show, Belly Scratcher.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
The pleasure is mine.
So, what's going on with the Cardinals this offseason?
Not a whole lot. We tried to get a bunch of big-name starters and not-so-big-name starters, and they all fell through except for Kip Wells. So we were left with a rotation of Chris Carpenter, Kip Wells, and three question marks.
Ouch.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah.
So is
we
it
got
that...
Reyes, who had that amazing World Series Game 1 start.
Sure.
And he's going to be up here full-time. Wainwright, who was our closer late last season, is moving into the rotation where he spent most of his time in the minor leagues. And then Braden Looper, who doesn't have a major league start.
Really? So, I hadn't heard that he was in the running.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you've got Ryan Franklin in the running for something there. What in the world's going on there?
A little bit further down on the depth chart than Looper. They signed him thinking he could kind of be a swing man, long relief, I think. I know he wants to start, and I think he's going to have a pretty outstanding year to, or pretty outstanding spring in order to bump himself past Looper, who has the track record with the organization, and Dave Duncan's really high on him, even though he can't get lefties out. So we'll have to see how that plays out this spring.
Well, I can't even believe that they would give Ryan Franklin a chance after the time he spent with Cincinnati last season. Are they hoping to make another Josh Hancock out of him?
I think so. Try to catch a diamond in the rough. You know, Dave Duncan has his little projects every year. Last year it was Ponson, who didn't pan out, and then Weaver, who got stronger and stronger as the season went on and eventually had an 8 or 9 strikeout game at Game 5 of the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they're hoping that Dave Duncan can work his magic on Franklin.
That would be magic.
It would be.
But it would also be magic if Looper could, you know, make it through 5 innings. Although, the proxy did some research into his stats last year, and if you projected out his, I think he had just under 80 innings, and if you projected that out over 200 innings with his record and everything, he would win something like 24 games.
Wow, the magic of numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I could also say, like, you know, I didn't want to scare myself too badly, so I didn't look into his splits or anything like that last year. He's, at this point, I think he's a righty specialist, and I thought when they were talking in December about putting him into the rotation that they were trying to hype up his value to trade him, but apparently they were serious, so...
Wow, so it sounds like the starting rotation is kind of a big question mark.
It is a very big question mark. Reyes has a couple of good games that I can recall. He had a one-hit game against the White Sox last year and then his World Series game. But other than that, he's a third starter, maybe fourth, from what we saw last year. Wainwright is phenomenal, or was phenomenal in relief, and especially as a closer the last couple weeks of the season, and he didn't, you know, allow any earned runs during the postseason. But he hasn't started for over a year, and so we'll see how he transitions back into that role.
That's kind of different for the Cardinals, I think. Usually one of their strong suits is going into every season has been their starting rotation.
It has the past couple of years. I remember growing up, we never had enough pitching. But the past couple of years, it's been very steady. We've had Carpenter, we've had Marquis, unfortunately, Supon. You know, a couple of years ago, we had Morris.
Right.
And so it has been very stable, and this is just, I think, that catching up with us for the past couple of years.
So how's the bullpen looking?
The bullpen, we had problems with last year. They weren't great. They weren't terrible, but there wasn't anything stellar. And after 2004 and 2005, we were kind of spoiled in the bullpen area. And then at the end of the year, they just turned it on. And it was a bunch of kids. And one of the knocks against La Russa has been that he doesn't really like to play younger players. He much prefers to have veterans in there.
I know what that's like.
Yeah.
We know what that's like.
I think
like.
That's common.
Yeah, it is common. And, you know, there's no... If the veterans give you the better chance to win, I don't see a problem with that. And he doesn't have a problem going to a rookie, Adam Wainwright, to close out World Series games, so...
So what's the deal?
Tyler Johnson and Snacks Hancock.
Snacks.
And, oh, gosh. Izzy's coming back this year, which is just...
Yeah, what's the deal with Izzy?
He's supposedly on target to maybe miss a couple weeks at the beginning of the season.
Is he hurt?
He had off-season surgery.
Oh.
Where?
He has a hip condition.
Oh, my.
And they went in not knowing if they were going to be able to fix him or not over the off-season. But they were, and apparently he's throwing very well. When he lands, he's not collapsing on himself, so... If he can be effective, it's great, but Izzy is always an adventure.
So did that have
I was hoping that we would re-sign Weaver Supon, which would leave Wainwright in the pen, which would mean we could get rid of Izzy.
So did Izzy's hip condition have something to do with his lack of effectiveness last season, or was that
It did.
Just coincidental?
I think he blew 10 saves, which is more than he had in his whole time here. Per season, but he's always made things interesting. He'll load the bases up and then get a double play and a strikeout or something like that. So having that shutdown closer isn't something we've had for a while.
Yeah. So how's the offense looking?
It's looking okay. You know, any team with Albert Pujols, Scott Rowland, and Jim Edmonds is going to be decent offensively.
Man, though, Edmonds is hardly the spring chicken he once was.
He absolutely, and he's going to probably start the season on the disabled list because he had two surgeries in the offseason.
Oh my gosh, what's wrong with him?
He's just old and banging into walls. He had his toe
removed,
something, and his I think his non-throwing shoulder, I think his right shoulder cleaned up a little bit. So... He's going to start the season sitting. And then we've got Juan Encarnacion, who is average, 260, 270 batting average. We replaced the revolving door at second base with Kennedy from the Angels. And he was actually a product of the St. Louis system. We traded him for Jim Edmonds. So now he's back, which is nice. It's a little bit more pop than we're used to at second, or a little bit better at batting average. And then Eckstein is Eckstein, and Yadier Molina, if he can crack 210, it'll be a miracle.
His weight, you mean? His weight?
Oh, he's definitely about 210.
Oh, yes.
And his weight. He's a chunky little guy. I think left field right now is up in the air because Chris Duncan was out there. He prefers right, but Encarnacion is in right, and he can't catch a ball. He can hit, but he just can't catch.
Right. He came up as a first baseman predominantly, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. And
that's a problem.
Yeah, unfortunately for him, that position's taken on the Cardinals. so they're trying to turn him into a left-right outfielder. Then there's Sho Taguchi and maybe John Rodriguez. And there's the dark horse of Rick Ankiel.
Oh, really?
Outfield. He's not going to make the big club, but he may make it up to AAA this year if he can stay healthy.
So looking at the off-season transactions, I think that the St. Louis has been the club that's done the surprising least.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal? Has everyone just been busy partying, or have deals fallen through? What's going on?
mostly deals have fallen through. They made, I believe, a very competitive offer for Jason Schmidt. They made an offer to Stupan, Weaver, and I think there was somebody else, maybe the other Wells, maybe David Wells? I'm not sure. Somebody else that they just, oh, Andy Pettit. Uh-huh. They made an offer to Andy Pettit.
Well, gosh, you'd think people would be anxious to join up with the defending World Series champions.
One would think, but the Cardinals' modus operandi is to set a value on a player and not wiggle much from it. So, you know, Barry Zito signed for, what, $120 million?
Mm-hmm.
If they had been in on the Barry Zito thing, they would have offered a year less and, you know, maybe 108 or 105 or something like that, but a year less in the contract. And it's, you know, an organizational thing where they don't offer more than 3-year contracts mm-hmm. to pitchers unless it's, you know, somebody really outstanding, unless Bob Gibson came back and started pitching. And they just don't deviate from their budget in that way. I think we lost Mark Grzelanik a couple of years ago because they didn't want to spend more than $1.2 million at second base.
That's tricky in this market, especially for pitchers. Well, what about the Cubs? They've been on the opposite end of the spectrum where they've had just a bunch of moves. What do you think? Are they contenders this year?
They've been $300 million this offseason. I think it's really cute that they think that that's going to work. They're still the Cubs. They're going to, you know, they got rid of Dusty Baker, and he was a big problem. They're going to have Derek Lee back. They've got Soriano. But they're still the Cubs.
Yeah.
They're still going to hope and pray that Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood can keep their arms attached to their bodies. And Kerry Wood got hurt in a whirlpool.
Yeah.
So far this spring training. So I think that they'll be, you know, I don't think that they're going to be in last place again this year, but they're still the Cubs. And they'll still find a way to screw it up, whether it's in May and they've lost 20 straight, or if, God forbid, they make the playoffs and melt down because a fan tried to catch a foul ball.
Yeah. They can be creative in the ways they can lose.
It's, yeah, I mean, you think that there's only so many ways you can lose a ball game, but every year they come up with new ones.
So how do you see the division shaking out this year?
I really have no idea. We were talking about this the other day, and except for the Pirates, it's pretty wide open. I think mm-hmm. the Astros, having lost Pettit, they still have Oswalt, and if Clemens ever decides to do anything, he'll probably be there. But I don't think that the Astros are as much of a threat as they have been the past few years.
Sure.
So, I mean, it really, it's anybody's division, except for the Pirates.
Except for the Pirates, they are a fundamentally dysfunctional organization.
It's too bad,
yeah.
But, you know, every dog has its day, so I'll be back. But yeah, I mean, it could be the
yeah,
Brewers,
someday.
They've got Stupan, if they can keep Ben Sheets not dizzy. They'll have good pitching, and they've got decent offense. You know, it could be the Reds. I don't know how much the Reds have done this offseason.
Not paying attention?
Not terribly much.
I understand. Have you guys been partying constantly since October?
Kind of. Like, every once in a while, we'll just be like, we won the World Series. Budweiser came out with magnums of beer for, let's say, world champion St. Louis Cardinals, and we've got one of those up on the refrigerator. And it's just so surreal. I still don't believe it.
So what was it like in the city around that time?
It was insane. Absolutely insane. Every building had signs in their windows. All the buildings downtown spelled out go-cards with their office lights. Our neighbor just down the street worked for the Cardinals and was able to give us extra tickets to the World Series Gala.
Awesome.
And there we met up with a friend of the Proxies who gave us her tickets to Game 4, and that ended up being the game Friday night, so we were there in the stands, and we were right in front of the suites that Tigers fans were in. So that was interesting to see them all excited for a couple innings and then just shut up and sit in the back.
Well, it's cool. It's quiet.
After the game, downtown just went insane. St. Louis ran out of beer.
Wow. That's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe.
Because they're making it right there.
I know. You would think there'd just be like an underground tap. But every downtown bar ran out of beer.
Wow.
It was crazy. And, you know, we were stuck in a parking garage trying to get out for like an hour and a half.
I bet, yeah.
And this was after a couple hours of wandering around. And it was, I mean, I'll never again be in something like that.
Yeah, that's something special. I think that you're lucky that you've got a sport that, we're lucky that we've got a sport that ends at a reasonable time of year, because the Colts fans were freezing their freaking butts off hanging out downtown, you know, partying out there. And
yeah, they had like, what was it, like 40,000 people there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And then, you know, then they went out again the next day for the parade, and you know, the Colts are touring the state with their trophy.
Nice.
I don't know if you got any Cardinals touring the state or if they just all took off to party on their own.
They did take the trophy on a tour down to, like, Springfield and maybe up to Iowa or something like that. But I missed it. I didn't see it.
Well, you were there for the game, so that's probably
better. I was there for the game, and I've got my, you know, little rally towel and the pictures I took with my phone of Bud Selig butchering Eckstein's name and Jeannie Zelasco trying to say something intelligent.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great year. I don't know if it's going to be as great for your team.
But it'll
very be competitive.
Much doubt.
It's because it sounds like it would be hard to beat that.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to beat that. And I think it's going to be a very exciting year in the division, because who knows what's going to happen. It's going to come down to, you know, who gets the breaks, rather than, you know, the Cardinals a couple years ago just rolled over everybody. And that's not going to happen this year.
Right.
And I can't really see any team just running away with the division. I think it's going to be a dogfight. End of the line.
Well, that'll make for some good smack talk.
Exactly. And it'll be exciting to have division races again.
I think so. Well, I'm looking forward to going into next season. I'm so excited about the start of spring training, and it'll be awesome to get some smack talk going on.
Yeah, there was a game today against Florida Atlantic University or something.
Awesome.
And they barely eked out a 7-8 game.
Well, I saw the lineup and didn't recognize a single name.
No. No. Although, the great hope for the future, Colby Rasmus, was in that game. He's the heir to center field. So we'll see.
Well, good luck to him. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Again, it was my pleasure.
And we're looking forward to smack talking through the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
The Red Hot Broadcast is recorded weekly in a land where the impossible can happen, like the Cubs winning 95 games. To send your comments to the show, email us at rhm@red-hot-mama.com and visit the website at red-hot-mama.com.